Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you especially this morning, Lord, as we remember your gift to us of mothers. We pray this morning that you would be with those mothers who are here, those future mothers who are here. We pray that you would be with us as we remember mothers who are no longer with us. During this time together, Lord, may we give you the honor and glory and praise because you are our heavenly parent. May we remember the love and compassion you have for us and leave here to share that kind of love and compassion with others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 203, Faith of Our Mothers.
Thank you.
litany this morning is entitled To Mothers, Past, Present, and Future. God of love, grace, and compassion, we give you praise today for mothers who are loving, gracious, and compassionate. For those mothers who spent vigilant days and sleepless nights to raise and nurture us.
For the many hours our mothers uncomplainingly serve as our chauffeur, longer than nursery, cook, and tutor, we give them honor and give you thanks.
We also remember today those who would have been mothers, but through choice or circumstances did not bear children.
We are mindful.
And for those who are experiencing their first Mother's Day without mother being with them.
On this day, we also remember those women who are single parents, what a daunting task they have.
While each of our children is special, we acknowledge some have special needs and challenges. Be with their mothers in a special way. On the special day, we pray your blessings on all women.
May your spirit rest on our mothers, past, present, and future. And may we, as your children, remember your command to honor our mothers.
Glory be to the Father.
May be seated. This is Mother's Day, and we want to take just a moment to recognize and honor our mothers. I was wondering if I could get Bailey and Abel to come up and help me out this morning. We have just a small token of our love and appreciation for the mothers. I would like not only for those of you who have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but for those of you ladies who down through the years, maybe you didn't have children, but you were a mother image to so many others. Maybe the day's coming when you will become a mother. Blessings on you. But I would like for all of our ladies of all ages to stand. All of the ladies stand, and if you two would take these and give one of these to each one of those ladies, okay? Maybe both of you need to carry that so you can have one hand free to reach out. Okay, give one to all the ladies, and once you have received your gift, you may be seated. Help her out, Abel. Grab two or three of them and take them down there, okay? Don't be bashful. I know you better than that. All right, get some more. You got the idea. All right, ladies, we are so appreciative of you this morning. Bless you. Down through the years, I have discovered that in every church, it's always a matter of do you want to talk to the man in charge or to the woman that knows what's going on? When I was up in Campbell County, we had a special project that we wanted to take on. So the first thing that I did was to go to the UMW and present it to them. And they took care of it for me. Ladies, we appreciate all the work that you do. Okay, we got a few more. And there's one more up front here. Don't forget her. And then we got a bunch of them in the choir. So, oh. Oh, come on. Okay. Okay, and you got three more down at the other end of the pew there. Now, this is my sermon time you're taking. Let's move. I see you all trying to slow them down. Okay, we got some up in the choir, too. Come on, Abel. There you go. Don't go up empty-handed. Get some candy. Give it to ladies in the choir. Okay. Give them to ladies in the choir, okay? Yep. Okay, do we have enough? Uh-oh. Okay, ladies, can we get some more? No, well, bless your hearts, okay? Gonna owe some of you an IOU. How many more do we need? Don't fight over them. I got a couple more here. Okay, who didn't get one?
Just throw them up in the air.
Did you get one? Okay, now you did. Who didn't get one? Joanne didn't. Okay. Now, does that take care of everybody? Nicole didn't get one, did she? We owe you. Bree didn't get one. Okay, we owe you. Yeah. Okay, Nicole, you take that one. We'll deal with Bree later. Okay. Okay. We appreciate so much the work that was done. This is great to have all these ladies here. Wonderful. Thank you very much. It's empty. Good job. All right. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share?
Survived last weekend with Dad. He had a really bad stomach virus. We spent the weekend in the hospital with him. He's home. He's better. Alice is facing a week of multiple doctor's appointments, and part of it's in preparation for her surgery a week from Monday. And then yesterday or this week, there was a physical for my grandson, Charlie, and he has some potential health issues. We don't know a lot of the details. They're doing an echogram this week, and after that, they'll be able to tell us more. But we need your prayers. And a lot of my family area, I would appreciate it.
And do remember Larry, too. All these other people are going to get all the attention, but Larry's the one that's going to have to carry the brunt of this. Any others? Unspoken request. How many by the uplifted hand would indicate unspoken request? Yes. Any others? I went over, I think I told you a week and a half ago, I went over to see my brother in South Carolina. And he is not doing well. I was very thankful I got a chance to go over when I did. But do remember Richard Lord. Appreciate it. As music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, the music says, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We are reminded day by day, more and more, that we need your presence, your peace, your power, your joy in our hearts. We see so much going on in this world of ours, Lord, and we realize that you are the only answer. May we allow that answer to start within us, then to reach out to those in our families, those in our neighborhoods, those with whom we work, those with whom we go to school. May we share your love and grace. This morning, Lord, we would remember all of those who are facing physical issues, who are going through difficult times because of aging, because of disease, because of injury. We pray that as a great physician, you would watch over them. Be with those who are grieving loss of loved ones, those who are grieving loss of pets, loss of youth, loss of jobs, those who are grieving relationships that aren't everything they could be and should be. We just pray this morning that your healing touch would be upon each one of them. May they feel your power and your peace. On this Mother's Day 2018, we would remember all of the women, young, not quite so young, and even less young. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister to them. We thank you especially for our mothers, those who are still with us, those who have gone on. May we remember all of the good. May we forgive the not so good. May we seek to set an example for those young ladies who are coming behind us, that they might experience and share your loving grace. Be with our troops today, Lord. Watch over them, keep them safe. Be with our leaders, Lord. Guide and direct them. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We pray now that you would bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
God from whom all blessings flow.
Could we get everyone to stand, please, for the reading of the gospel? From John chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and will later be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Our text this morning seems appropriate for Mother's Day. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not abandon you as orphans. A survey was taken asking boys and young men that if they had a problem, who would they confide in? 23% of them said their fathers. 77% said their mothers. I don't know how much time you gentlemen have been spending looking for Mother's Day gifts for mom or daughter or granddaughter or whomever. Let me share a story with you from one family. There were four brothers in that family. They had left home. They became successful doctors and lawyers and executives. Some years later, the four of them were having dinner together, and they were discussing gifts that they had sent to mom for Mother's Day. The first one said, I had a big house built for mama. The second one said, I had a $50,000 home theater installed in that house. The third one said, I had a Mercedes SL600 sent to her from my Mercedes dealer, just for Mother's Day. The fourth one said, you know how much mom used to like to read the Bible? Well, now that she's almost blind, she can't read anymore. I met a preacher who had a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 preachers 12 years to teach him. Mama just has to name a chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it. Now, I had to donate $100,000 to that preacher's church, but it was worth it. Around the 1st of June, Mom sent out thank you notes to her boys. Milton, the house you built is huge. I live in only one room, but I still have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway. Marvin, I'm too old to drive. I stay home. I have my groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes. But it was a nice thought. Thank you. Michael, you gave me an expensive in-home theater that will seat 50, complete with Dolby sound. All of my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing, and I'm nearly blind, so I'll never use it. Thank you just the same. Dearest Melvin, you are the only son with the smarts to give me a gift that I could use. Thank you. The chicken was delicious. Very often we think of mom when we think of being comforted. We need to remember that God is both a father and mother to us and wants us to remember that we are God's children. Some thoughts to think about this morning. First of all, Jesus comforts us with his presence. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus was going away, but he told them that God would send them a comforter, the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't be alone. God's Spirit would be with them, would be in them. There's no greater gift that you and I can give today than that of our presence. In USA Today, there was an article a while back that noted for those of us whose parents are still living, 75% live within minutes of at least one parent. 23% are within hours of a parent. Only 2% need to drive days to see a parent. Let me share another story with you here. After 17 years of marriage, my wife wanted me to take another woman out to dinner and a movie. She said, "I love you, but I know this other woman loves you and wants to spend some time with you." The other woman that my wife wanted me to be with and visit was my mother. She's been alone for 20 years, but the demands of my work and marriage and two boys made it possible only to visit her very occasionally. That night I called to invite her out to dinner and a movie. "What's wrong? Are you okay?" she asked. My mother's the type of woman who suspects that a late night call or a surprise invitation is a sign of bad news. "I thought it'd be pleasant to spend some time with you," I responded, "just the two of us." She thought for a moment and then she said, "I would like that very much." That Friday after work, as I drove over to pick her up, I was a bit nervous. When I arrived at her house, I noticed that she too seemed to be nervous about our date. She was waiting in the doorway. She had curled her hair, and she was wearing the dress that she had worn for her last birthday. She smiled from a face that was as radiant as an angel's. "I told my friends that I was going out with my son, and they were impressed," she said, as she got into the van. "They can't wait to hear about our date." We went to a restaurant that was nice and cozy. My mother took my arm as if she were the first lady. After we sat down, I had to read the menu to her because her eyes could only read large print. Halfway through the entrees, I lifted up my eyes and saw Mom sitting there staring at me. A nostalgic smile was on her lips. "It was I who used to have to read the menu to you when you were small," she said. "Then it's time for you to sit and relax and let me return the favor," I responded. During dinner, we had an agreeable conversation. Nothing extraordinary, but just catching up on recent events in each other's life. We talked so much that we missed the movie. When we arrived at her house later, she said, "I'll go out with you again, but only if you let me invite you." I agreed. When I got home, my wife asked, "How was your date?" "Very nice. Much more than I could have imagined," I answered. A few days later, my mother died of a massive heart attack. Sometime later, I received an envelope with a copy of a restaurant receipt from the same place where Mom and I had dined. An attached note said, "I paid this bill in advance. I wasn't sure that I could be there, but nevertheless, I paid for two meals, one for you and the other for your wife. You'll never know how much that night meant to me. I love you, son." Nothing says, "I love you," like being there. For our parents, and for our children. Aging parents need children who will come and see them. Jesus was leaving his disciples, but he wanted them to know he was not abandoning them. He said, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Now there's a second way that Jesus comforts his disciples. He gives us his understanding and his love. Physical presence is great, but it's not enough. We need both someone who is there and someone who understands and forgives. Here is where Jesus shines. No one is more understanding than he is. As we look at him in the eye of our heart, we see him holding the children in his arms. We see his concern for those who have physical challenges, for those who have been broken by sin like the thief beside him on the cross. Jesus teaches us what God is like. There's a bank in Pennsylvania that trained their employees to get a better feel for customers with disabilities. Employees of the 180 branches of the Meridian Banking Group had to fill out deposit slips with Vaseline smeared on the lenses of their glasses. They had to count money with three fingers on each hand taped together. This way they'd have a better understanding of what older customers with glaucoma or cataracts or arthritis might be going through. What a difference empathy and understanding make in a relationship. Jane Nelson wrote a book entitled The Aladdin Factor. In that book, there's a story. She once received a call from a frantic single mother who was caught in a power struggle with her 14-year-old daughter. The mother had found a six-pack of beer in the daughter's closet. When the daughter came home, the mother held it up and said, "Okay, Maria, what is this?" Nonchalantly, Maria replied, "Looks like a six-pack of beer to me." "Don't get smart with me, young lady. You tell me about this." "I don't know what you're talking about," the girl replied. "I found a six-pack in your closet. You better explain," her mother continued. Maria thought fast and said, "Oh yeah, I was watching that for a friend." "You expect me to believe that?" asked her mother. Maria got mad, stomped off to her bedroom, and slammed the door. Does that sound familiar? Oh my, those teenage years are so wonderful. When the mother called for advice, Jane Nelson asked, "Why were you so concerned about finding a six-pack of beer in her closet?" "Because I don't want her to get into trouble," the mother answered. "I understand that," Jane said, "but why don't you want her to get into trouble?" The mother answered, "Because I don't want her to ruin her life." "I understand that," said Jane, "but why don't you want her to ruin her life?" Finally, the mother caught on and said, "Because I love her." Jane asked, "Do you think she got the message?" There was a long pause, and the mother said, "Of course not." Jane continued on. She said, "What do you think would happen if you said, 'Honey, I love you so much that I was scared when I found the six-pack of beer in your closet. I was afraid you might get into trouble. Can we talk about it?'" In this approach, we start by being vulnerable and telling our deeper truth instead of conducting an inquisition that inevitably leads to denial. Starting from the position of love and vulnerability of folks' closeness and trust so that the child could then open up and both parties can work toward a solution. This is how Jesus works. He resisted the temptation to lecture or to scold. He asked caring questions, and he allowed the person to discover his or her own solutions. We sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Why do we have that kind of a friend? Because he's empathetic and he understands. Number three, Jesus gives us power to be able to conquer our problems. He said, "I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live." How often have people been comforted by those words? "Since I live, you will also live." Because he's with us, we can cope, we can endure, we can conquer. As parents, we're called to be present and to understand. Our job prepares us to cope with life and gives us the tools to succeed. This morning, these thoughts and our thoughts and our memories are with our mothers. Mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, wiping up barf laced with Oscar Mayer wieners and cherry Kool-Aid, and saying, "It's okay, honey. Mommy's here." Mothers who sat in rocking chairs for hours on end, soothing crying babies who can't be comforted. Mothers who show up at work with spit up in their hair and milk stains on their blouse and diapers in their purse. This is for mothers who run carpools, make cookies, sew Halloween costumes, and for all the mothers who don't. Mothers who gave birth to babies they'll never see, and the mothers who took those babies and gave them a home. Mothers whose priceless art collections hang on refrigerator doors. Mothers who froze their buns on metal bleachers at football or soccer games instead of watching from the warmth of their car. So when the kids asked, "Did you see me, Mom?" they could say, "Of course, I wouldn't have missed it for the world." And they meant it. Mothers who sat down with their children and explained the facts of life. And grandmothers who wanted to but couldn't find the words. Mothers who go hungry so their children can eat. Mothers who taught children to tie their shoelaces before they started school. And for those mothers that opted for Velcro or slip-ons instead. Mothers who taught their sons to cook and their daughters how to sink a jump shot. Mothers whose heads turn automatically when a little voice calls, "Mom," in a crowd, even though they know their own offspring are at home or away at college, or maybe they have kids of their own. This is for mothers who sent children to school with stomach aches, assuring them that they would be fine once they got there, only to receive a call from the school nurse saying, "You better come and get them real quick." This is for mothers whose children have gone astray, who can't find the words to reach them. This is for all of the stepmothers and grandmothers who raised another woman's child or children and gave their time, attention, and love, and it was sometimes totally unappreciated. For mothers who bit their tongues until they bled when their 14-year-olds dye their hair green or blue or neon red or purple or... This is for the mothers of victims of recent school shootings and for the mothers of the ones who did the shooting. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a mother of one of those shooters? This is for the mothers of the survivors, the ones who sat in front of their TVs in horror, hugging their children who had just come home from school safely. For mothers who taught their children to be peaceful and now pray that they will come home safely from a war. What is it that makes a good mother anyway? Patience, compassion, the ability to nurse a baby, cook dinner, and sew a button on a shirt all at the same time? Or is it in her heart? Is it the ache she feels when she watches her son or daughter walking to school alone for the very first time? Is it the jolt that makes her go from sleep to dread, from bed to crib at 2 o'clock in the morning, to place their hand on the back of a sleeping baby? Or years later, that panic that comes again at 2 o'clock in the morning when you just want to hear their key in the door and know they're home safe? Or the need to hug your child when you hear news of a fire, a car accident, or a child dying. The emotions of motherhood are universal, and so our thoughts are for the young mothers stumbling through diaper changes and sleep deprivation, mature mothers learning to let go, working moms, stay-at-home moms, single mothers, married mothers. Mothers, this is for all of you. Hang in there. Tell your children every day that you love them and pray. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Because I live, you will live also." This morning, and hopefully every morning, we honor our mothers. And even more so, we honor God, our loving heavenly parent, who is always present, always empathizing, and always giving us the strength to be victorious. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers, past, present, and future. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we give you thanks and praise. We pray now that you would bless our mothers, whether they're in our memory, whether they're in our presence, or for those mothers who are yet to come. Bless them, Lord. May they reflect our heavenly parent, and we'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and sing number 543, The Family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. From part of the family and sister round here is because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in the family so dear. Family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Now, as you leave this place, may you leave as children of God that have been to a family reunion around God's throne. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.